Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. First Wednesday of the month has been for a long time our tradition, our habit, our great pleasure to have on this program the man we like to call our chef in residence. Now, let me just point something out. That is a purely honorary title with all of the rights and privileges that adhere thereto. And when he's here on the program, we've been doing this for a long time, he stops by. And we always have a good time talking about food and cooking. And he picks some topic, and we talk about that, and sometimes go off in some odd side directions. So there's no rules here particularly. But we do at least pick something to focus on. And this time around, he said, well, let's talk about beans, something we really haven't done on the program for a long time, at least that I could see. And I thought, well, that's a good thing because they have health benefits. You know, they've got fiber. They don't have any fat. There's many different kinds and different things that you can do with them, and if you need one more reason, you know, that's a way to get a very economical meal on the table. So maybe you have a good recipe that you would share with us, particularly if it's maybe a little unusual. Probably maybe everybody's got a recipe for a bean soup or chili. You know, traditionally a lot of people like to have that with beans, but there are a lot of different things that you can do with them. Hot dishes, cold dishes, you name it. So whatever you got for us, if you have a good bean recipe, give us a call. 333-9455. If we're here in Champaign-Urbana, toll free, 800-222-9455. Well,
that's right.
Here we are again. Was there something? I always ask you this, the first thing I always say. So why were you thinking about – what's got you thinking about this?
I found a recipe the other day that I wanted to do, and I started making it, and I have it, and I'm eating it, and I like it very much. It was kind of a surprise to me. It was from a very old book that someone gave to me about heritage cooking. Mm-hmm. And Heritage magazine, and it was recipes and cooking was this particular volume, and I found a recipe for cowpoke beans, and I thought, well, now wait, there's something here, because you see, this is not mother's bean soup, mm-hmm. which is so standard, you would expect that, and I thought, well, what would they put together? Well, it turns out to be kind of like a chili without meat. A lot of strong taste of garlic and oregano and onion and red peppers.
Now that sounds very good.
Sounds
to me.
Tasty, and of course I want it done with pinto beans.
Mm-hmm.
And those were all available. beans. Were one of the first sort of symbols or object of civilization. You know, when we quit being hunter gatherers, and the very first things that were planted. It's true they may have planted them along the trail as they were going one direction, and they harvested them when they come back. But beans were among the very first things that were a harvested and gathered crop. And we've been busy with them ever since. And we have more kinds of beans. I mean, when I grew up, it was navy beans and butter beans. I've had arguments with my sister-in-law about the pinto beans. She said, no, you couldn't get pinto beans in Kansas in 1938. Mm. I said, but I ate them there, so how did mother get them? And then between me and my brother, whenever she would cook beans, just a bunch of beans, she would always put one pinto bean in the – and we would get not ready to fight over it. I mean, somehow I always won. Never figured that.
You
part
got the
of.
One. Pinto
I got the
bean?
One pinto bean, and it was always a good joke and all. So that kind of cooking was one thing. But I've noticed recently that beans have taken on another kind of importance. It is no longer just make the bean soup, you know. And I have been really impressed with looking at recipes from outside of our country, and realized that the bean, the legume, and a grain make a complete protein, mm-hmm. and how many times that exists in many, many different cultures. The Japanese with the tofu that's made of soybeans, and then you fill that with rice, and you've got a total piece. And then I first realized it with corn tortillas and bean burritos. Mm-hmm. Those two things, and they're very staple and sustain you a lot. So nearly every culture has a combination like that. But I've noticed recently. Oh, let's see. When did it start? It started about 10 or 11 years ago. People began to make after three bean salad. Three bean salad is very, very old, and it, I think, is a German invention, kind of taking it and pushing it a little bit farther with things like chopped corn, corn taken off the cob, and beans. And then at one time we couldn't get black beans. Now we can get black beans. And a lot of these tastes are coming around, and people are inventing more things. And then the last thing that I noticed is that hummus is no longer just chickpeas. And I found an edamame. I was served an edamame hummus.
Really, edamame hummus?
Yeah, and it was quite good. I mean, of course, it would be good because edamame is good enough to eat too. But to puree that up and mix some more stuff with it, and so I find this kind of an invention. Plus the fact it's an inexpensive bit. I hunted around town, and I found lots and lots of caches of beans. Many stores have great quantities. Strawberry Fields has a lot of different beans. World Harvest has tons of beans, and a lot from India, as well as from Africa. Beans like that.
All right.
So. They're there, and I thought, well, I'm sure that people are using them, and so I was kind of curious as what somebody else would do with beans.
Well, we have somebody here right off who would like to talk with us, someone in Lafayette.
Good.
So I'm going to do that. We're on our toll-free line. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Here's the ultimate beginner's question. Do beans really have to be boiled all day long, and thus you're chained to the kitchen and the kettle?
No. In a quick answer, and that's another thing I like to talk about, because there has been a new fashion of cooking beans. And what you do is instead of soaking them all night. Now I'm confused by this soaking business, because at some point, information has come to me that it produces a toxic something or another. And some recipes say pour off the water. Some recipes say use new water. Some say keep the same water. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that is in relation to the specific bean or to just the whole idea of. But anyway, the quick style of cooking beans, and it doesn't take a long time, is to put the beans and water on cold and then bring it to a boil and let it boil for maybe 10 minutes and then turn the fire off and put a lid on it and let it sit for an hour on the stove. And that takes care of all of the soaking that you would have done for, 24 hours before. And then when you cook them, they don't take quite as long to cook. They cook very quickly in the normal way. So, no, you don't have to leave the beans on. That, however, was a technique where you would soak the beans all night, and then the next morning you'd put the beans on. You might have them for supper. So, yes, you don't have to keep them that long cooking. But they're good, and you want fresh beans, because stale ones don't want to cook up very well. I would like somebody to talk about, I get informations that are kind of funny, is that they always take a lot of water. And there are fashions of cooking where you must put boiling water into the beans when you add the water to them, or else the beans will turn hard. I haven't really checked that out too much, except it's kind of a folk thing. I get this from southern Colorado. Oh, no. You have to put boiling water into the beans or else it'll ruin them.
Now, do you, do you mention any special, favor any kind of bean as the beginner's staple?
Well, navy beans. Navy beans are very good to begin with, and pinto beans I'm very fond of. That's a nice flavor. Other beans, the black beans that we have are quite good. That's often used in some chilies and as a side dish, the black beans, or the beginning of some of these wonderful combinations of beans and other grains that you put vinaigrettes on and make a kind of a salad. Pinto beans and navy beans are the two basic, they're the oldest ones in our culture.
Okay.
So those would be good, and they're easy to cook, but do not let them burn.
Well, if you burn, that's what I was afraid of.
If you burn them, that's the end of it. Except as I have often said, that I was about 14 or 15 years old before I found that beans have a different flavor. Mother always burned them, because she did it on Monday, which was wash day, and she put the beans on in the morning and would be busy washing and forget all about them, and they'd scorch just a little bit. But we always ate them, being frugal in 1931.
now, after you cover and soak them for the hour, you cook them and
just go ahead, just turn the heat on and let them simmer. Don't boil them real hard. Let them simmer and then do watch it. I would think that within 2 hours the beans would be cooked after you have done that 1 hour. So that's not a long time to pay attention to it, and part of it is lying there being quiet anyway. So 1 hour to rest after you've brought it to a boil, let it sit for 1 hour, and then within 2 hours it would be cooked. So
you're not boiling them again, or?
Well, you boil them again.
Okay.
You boil them after that 1 hour. You then heat them up and boil them again, but then that's the only time you're going to have to sit and watch them. So be attentive.
Well, thank you, sir.
Sure.
Oh, thanks. I've myself have been sort of mystified by these recipes that talk about cooking them for 3 hours or 4 hours or whatever. And maybe it's just because I would like my beans just to be – I don't want them to be crunchy, but I like them being just a tiny bit al dente, you know. And for me, I think when you cook it 3 or 4 hours, there's not going to be anything left. It's mush. And I still want them to look reasonably intact and have a bite.
I think that is a very personal taste, because most of the bean recipes are cooked until they would fall apart.
Yeah.
They split and fall. And then in some recipes, they even want to be mashed. I don't like that. I want the beans to take care of themselves. If they want to dissolve, fine. But I resent the idea of going in with a potato masher and mashing some of the beans up in order to make a thicker soup. I don't enjoy that.
Well, I guess I have done recipes where what they suggest that you do is actually take some of the beans out.
Take some out.
And, with some of the liquid.
Yeah.
And use either a food processor or put it in something and use a hand blender or something like that.
Oh.
And then for the reason that you mentioned, as because it helps to thicken it.
Thicken.
So then take that and then put that back.
Yeah.
And I like the idea that the soup or maybe will have some body, but that also there will be recognizable, That's the way I feel about my lentil soup, too. I like to look at it and know, you know, what it is. Have there be recognizable beans or lentils or
lentil,
whatever.
Lentils are really, really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Okay, well, the guy here with me is the man we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore, and it's the first Wednesday of the month, and for a long time we've set aside the first 10 o'clock show, the first Wednesday, to talk about food and cooking, and he said, well, this time around, let's talk about beans. Maybe you have a good recipe that you'd like to share. That'd be great. 333-9455 and toll free 800-222-9455. And I'm going to get, at some point here, I'm curious about your cowpoke beans, so I want to hear about those.
Oh, yes.
But let's talk with some folks here. Atlanta next, Atlanta, Illinois, line one. Hello.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hey. This ties in with several things you talked about, pinto beans, southern Colorado, and procurement there. In southern Colorado, there's a town called Dove Creek that's at about 7,000 elevation, and the only thing it consists of is three milling companies, and their product is mainly pinto beans.
Hmm.
And the one that I'm familiar with is called Adobe Milling, and you can call them up on the phone.
Yes.
And you can order pinto beans, the raw product that comes in the smallest size, maybe is a 10-pound burlap bag, and the beans just are way, I think the elevation makes the difference. They're way above anything that you can buy locally, at least where I live, and they're tremendous. They also have a bean called Anasazi beans.
The Anasazi beans, yes.
Which goes clear back to...
Those were beans that they found, and they were viable somehow. They could grow them, and those are kind of multicolored.
Red and white.
Yeah.
The advantage to them is I'm not sure that they really taste quite like pinto beans, but they're a lot less gaseous, which is their prime
wonderful
thing. And I know Adobe Milling has a lot of bean products. When you order some beans from them, you get some recipes that are outstanding. They also sell other products like 11 bean soup.
Oh, my, yes,
11,
yes.
It comes where you can reconstitute it and have a soup that has 11 different kind of beans in it. So a great source to get beans, and it's just a UPS away, and they arrive, this little burlap bag. And
Yeah, that's right. They come in a small bag, yes,
yeah,
cloth
so
bag.
A great place to find pinto beans and, for sure, Anasazi beans. So thank you.
Right. Yes.
Well, thanks for the call. And I'm looking. They have a website. I guess everybody has a website now. Adobe Milling, Dove Creek, Colorado. So if you want to do that, you can check it out. I did, in fact, one of the things that I came across when I was thinking about the show was a story about the Anasazi beans and about the fact that in the doing archaeological work,
yes,
they actually found beans that were, I don't know how old. A thousand years old. And they took the beans and thought, well, okay, let's see what will happen. And they germinated.
Yes.
And which is pretty amazing, the idea after a thousand years, you can take your bean and it will still, it was still alive.
It was still alive, yeah. Those beans are very pretty. They're more mottled, red and white. Now, pinto beans are funny because they're dark brown and light brown and medium brown, and there's specks and flecks on them. But when you cook them, all that goes away, and they end up being a small brown bean. They don't have that characteristic of the pinto pony.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, let's talk with somebody else here. And this would be someone in Piatt County on our line two, line number two, right here. Hello.
Well, hello.
Yeah?
I wanted to just say a couple of things really fast, is that I was told that if you soak beans overnight and you pour the water off, that lessens the gaseous effect. I never had heard about the toxic aspect of that, but that is one of the theories about pouring the water off and starting cooking with new water.
Starting new water, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And then the second thing that I was questioning is that I was told or read somewhere that if you put beans in the crock pot without soaking, they will go ahead and cook. You cook them all day in your crock pot. And that's not true, actually. I have found it not to be true. And they were pretty much al dente, a lot al dente, if David is looking for that. And so I was wondering, would you do the same thing for crock pot beans, do you think? Your method of boiling them and then drain them in the crock pot?
Well, that would work. You'd have to have two pots. I mean, start one mm-hmm. that you can bring the temperature up very fast and let it boil just momentarily. It seems to me like 10 minutes. And then turn the heat off and let them sit, and they soak up very quickly because everything is hot and they're taking on the water. And then you could put them in the crock pot, I think.
Yes, and my recipe is pretty much to throw in a lot of vegetables with them and a can of tomatoes in it.
Oh.
It's always been really good, and a lot of spices at the end, and I don't put the spices in at the beginning, I think, because they lose their flavor.
Right, they would if you're going to cook them for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't use meat with it, and I found that to be a really good, not necessarily a wash day recipe, but a really good all day recipe. And so I just thought I'd contribute that. Thanks.
Oh, yes, indeed.
All right. Well, thank you. My philosophy with beans is that as you're cooking them periodically, you just have to check them.
Oh, well,
until
yes.
you get to the point
until
where
it gets to the point you want.
You feel, okay, this is it.
Yep.
We're done.
No, you're right.
All right. To someone here on the campus, line number 3.
Yeah,
hello.
Hi. I was just wondering if you have ever tried to cook the beans in a pressure cooker, because that works really quickly. And depending on the type of the beans, of course, how long you should be cooking in the pressure cooker, that will depend on that. But generally, it is not, and after the pressure release the sounds, the whistles,
mm-hmm.
Maybe 2 or 3 maximum are required. But that is one of the things that I do. And any kind of beans, I think soaking from somewhere to 2 to 4 hours, 6 to 8 hours, depending on type of beans, I think that works. And I never use the water because I just rinse it out and then cook it. And then lastly, because of the digestion problems sometimes people have with the beans, I use a quarter teaspoon of baking soda.
Ah, yes.
While it is cooking.
That's one of the sources. Yes, baking powder.
Yeah. No.
Well, she said baking soda.
I mean soda.
Those are two different
things. Baking soda.
Right, and it froths up a little bit, so you have to skim it off.
Yes.
It cooks quickly, but also it is really very easy on digestion. I thought I would just let you know that.
That is good. There are some people that use only the pressure cooker. I have a pressure cooker, but I don't know. I want it to take a long time.
Because the burning thing. And,
yes.
You know, all the stuff and watching it and all that. Can be easily avoided.
It could be avoided, yes.
Traditionally, it remains intact.
Yes.
Anyway.
Excellent. Well,
that's good. I don't do that, so I hadn't thought about that very much. But a pressure cooker is used in a lot of recipes. I know Indian cooking uses pressure cooker for beans a lot.
Right. That's what I do.
Oh, yes. Oh, well.
All right.
Yes.
So I'm enjoying your program.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the call.
You cook the pressure cooker thing is with the garbanzo beans.
Yes.
You know, to cook. So anyway.
Very
thank
good.
You.
Thank
well,
you.
Thank you. Okay. We're already halfway through. This is Sparta Focus 580. It's our monthly cooking show. Doyle Moore is here. He's stopping by here on a regular basis for a long, long time. First Wednesday, 10 o'clock show, we talk about cooking and pick some particular topic and talk a little bit about technique and tell stories of dishes we have known and sometimes share
wild
recipes.
Wild dishes we have known.
Wild dishes we have known from our wild utes. And this time around, he said, well, let's talk about beans, because in part because there's great variety, and people have certainly gone beyond bean soups and chili and 3-bean salads, and nothing wrong with all of those things. But, you know, you can do all kinds of stuff with beans.
There's a lot, and it's that invention that is happening now. But you always ask me, I don't know how I come up with it. Sometimes I'm almost late, you know, getting a subject so that you can make some information on a couple of days before the program. But generally, it's because I'm either doing it or thinking about it at the moment. And so what had happened was I got this book with the recipe of cowpoke beans, and I thought, gee, that that sounds because the whole thing of Western cooking and the chuck wagon mm-hmm. and all that sort of thing, you had to have something that was substantial or the cowboys wouldn't eat it, you know. It wasn't really just a make do on what you have. And I thought, well, what is it that that this recipe has? So I copied that off and brought it today. It's very, very simple to do. You just they soak the beans overnight, and then next day add a ham bone and some red chili pepper and salt to the undrained beans. See, they didn't want to drain them at this, and bring it to a boil and let it simmer gently for several hours. Well, no, cook it a little bit faster. Let it go like that. Then drain the liquid and save some of the liquid. And then you start in another pot with a whole onion chopped up and some suet and some garlic. And you cook that for a few minutes and then add some tomatoes. They could be fresh tomatoes chopped up or I like to use the diced tomatoes in a can. And tomatoes, and then parsley, and all of the and red cumin, and marjoram, and chili powder. So you've got almost all the same things that you do to end up a chili. And I remember when I was making chili in England, they had no idea what it was. And when I got done, she said, "Oh, vegetable curry, I make that all the time." So to a certain degree, it is very much like that. But I found this recipe very interesting, and I've got a pot of them cooking right now.
Well, that sounds good. Around our house, often, just for convenience sake, we use canned beans in a flavored sauce.
Yes.
And that's a fine product. I like that. And sometimes maybe you just want to toss a hamburger on the grill and you want to have a little something on the side. My problem, though, often, and we like the, I think the Bush people have a nice product, you know, so that's really good. But I guess my problem with a lot of those is that they're candy sweet. And I think, you know, I don't need it like that, and I think I would like something that was just and maybe
plainer,
and mm-hmm. Or maybe on something like this, you know, it wouldn't hurt. You might toss in just a tiny bit of brown sugar, maybe might be nice. But you know, certainly I would not want it, and maybe I wouldn't even do that at all. Maybe I would just, you know, go with this because that sounds good to me. I like those flavors, and so much of the canned product is
now.
Is
years
got so much
ago,
sugar in
you
it.
Used to be able to get chili beans.
Yes.
And I know my uncle was very, very fond. I mean, he had dozens of cans of chili beans, and we'd have them every lunchtime probably, whatever you would open up. And they were kind of good, and I think that's what I was thinking of, mm-hmm. He being an old Westerner anyway.
Old cowpoke.
Yep. And so I gravitated to this. There's another area of beans, the Senate bean soup.
Oh, yes, the Navy bean soup is very famous.
Very
that they
famous.
Serve in the Senate
and
dining room.
And I grumble at it because it has carrots in it, and I'm saying, no carrots in my bean soup. But I've not been there to eat it. I suppose I would like it, and I'm sure there's not a lot of carrots in it. But I found, well, what I'm really saying is Mother never did it that way, so I'm not going to try it.
All right, we got some other callers here. Let's talk with somebody in Downs. How about that? Our toll-free line here, line 4. Hello.
Hello. I have been off for a little while, so I haven't heard things in the interim. But I'm assuming you all know the book On Food and Cooking by Harold McGee.
Not exactly, no.
Well,
McGee, yes.
It's a book of food science.
Oh, uh-huh.
But it is readable.
Okay.
And I just have fun with this book. And he says that if you throw out the water that
yes.
you soak the beans in, you do get rid of some of the indigestible sugars.
Oh, okay.
But you also get rid of a lot of nutrients.
And you get rid of the nutrients, yes.
And so he says the cure for that is just long cooking, and the indigestible sugars just get consumed by the bean.
That's very interesting, because that makes something real out of it, yes.
Huh. And then the other thing that he says is that there are three things that maintain the texture of beans when you cook them. One is acids.
Yes.
One is sugar. And the third one is calcium.
I see.
So he's saying that, you know, if you cook it with things that are acidic, I often like a little bit of vinegar.
Vinegar, yes.
In beans, so you could put that in, I'm assuming, at the beginning, if you want your beans to maintain, you know, a good bean structure. You know, if you want a good, nice bean at the end instead of this mushy sort of thing.
Yes.
So those are just a couple of things that are interesting in here, and he's got a lot of information.
McGee. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
It's a wonderful, wonderful book. There's a revised version out now. It's big and fat. He started out, I believe, as a PhD student in English at Princeton.
Oh, good.
And went off on this, I think, because of his wife. I can't remember now anymore. But so he, you know, he knows how to write. He knows how to make things interesting. And it's a book that I just really, really love.
Well, that's some good information, because that kind of ties things together. You get these little snips of information, and you don't know what to do with them, but you kind of tie some things together there. Thank you very much.
I always go to him when I hear these things.
Yes.
I go to his book and say,
it'll be there somewhere.
What's the real skinny on this? The other thing is that if I'm going to cook beans,
yes,
I always, from scratch, I always cook twice or three times as much as I want. And then freeze them.
Oh, well, yes, then they'd be ready to do other things with.
You can freeze them in bags and, you know, lay them out on a cookie sheet or something, and then they freeze flat.
Flat, yes, and then you can kind of store them like books.
Right, or just soaked.
Oh, I see.
I know that Paula Wolfert soaks lots and lots of chickpeas.
Oh, yes, that they have to be soaked, yes.
And then just freezes them soaked.
Oh, that's interesting. That cuts down on a lot of time.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good to know. Yes.
Those are my things.
Well, great. Well, thank you.
Well, thanks very much.
Okay.
Good to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
I know that when I make the Greek-style lentils, the feki, you put vinegar in the lentils after you've cooked it.
Mm-hmm.
They're cooked with onions and tomatoes, and then they're cooked up. They don't take very long, lentils. And then when you serve it, you put a tablespoon of vinegar on top of that.
Huh.
And I know that is, first, it's a good taste.
Yeah. Well, I really, when I have chili, when I make chili, I generally don't make the chili itself very hot, but I just like plain old traditional Louisiana style hot sauce. I really like the combination of the heat, the salt, and the vinegar.
Yes.
Those three things.
Yes.
And then so when I have chili, then at the table, I just like to add a little bit of that for all of that. I like the vinegar sharpness, the saltiness that gets introduced, and the heat that comes from the chili. All those things
all
together,
of,
and I just sort of sprinkle a little in and stir it in, and that's what I really like.
That's a very special taste. The Louisiana hot sauce taste is very special.
Yeah, let's talk with some other folks here. Muhammad, line number one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm listening carefully to see if you have a solution to take the gas out of beans, but I'll try some of the things I've heard. I actually like to just buy a can of beans.
Yes.
And my favorite brand, I don't listen to the brand name.
No, Cooners, listen to it.
Oh. Cooners, black beans with cumin sauce.
Oh.
They are wonderful. You can just eat them.
Yes.
Or you can make chili out of them, you know, because the flavors in them go right into anything Mexican, or I've even put them in spaghetti just to get some fiber into our diet.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
and they have this very light cumin spice on them. And
which is a very good taste with beans, yes.
It is, and they're just good right out of the can. And tacos, you can make anything like that with them. I've even put a little hand blender to them and made refried beans.
Refried beans, yes.
Yeah, which I didn't even add any oil, I don't think. They just, it was pureed beans, you know. But they are just excellent.
That's good. You know, I always sneered at canned beans, and I would just fall in laughter to see a quart of navy beans, you know, in a glass jar on the shelves in the grocery stores. I thought, what's easier than making beans, and why do you have to buy it? But I have found that canned beans are a very, very good source of stuff if you don't want a lot. If you want just the contents of a can, that the canned beans are very good. Now, one of the problems that I have is that there's a lot of salt in canned products like that. So, however, if you wash the beans off, I hesitate using it if you're going to use those nice cumin beans, but it gets rid of an awful lot of the salt. And then I've also found some low salt beans, which I've just recently discovered those out of necessity. But I don't sneer at beans that are already cooked in a can because they're convenient and they taste good and it's a small amount.
Yeah, I think that's a great convenience. Canned beans, canned tomatoes, canned corn.
Corn.
I'm good with that.
Yes.
I think that's a great – it makes for easier. I think if you want to start with dried beans, that's great if you have the time to do that. And maybe you're going to make a big pot of something, you know, swell. But sometimes you just think, well, okay, it would be just easier if I would just open one of these cans and you're good to go.
And wash them up.
Wash them up. Well, I kind of – my tendency is to do that anyway because sometimes they come with this kind of thick, gluey stuff
yeah.
that I don't want that. I want the nice beans. So I get out my colander and I just rinse them off.
Well, that's good. I think what you're describing is, okay, so you work all day. And when you come home, you haven't had the 5 hours of baking the beans. If you had stayed home all day, you would do it. And so they are really convenient and very good.
Yeah. Let's talk with someone in Urbana. Line number 2. Hello.
Hi.
Yeah.
I was just calling about keeping the beans firm. I'm a food scientist, and if you want to keep them firm, you need to cook them first. So they're soft, because if you put the firming agents in when you start cooking, you will end up with a little hard pellet.
Yes, yes.
So you need to cook the beans a while so they soften, and then add your vinegar or your calcium carbonate to help keep the beans from falling apart.
That is another trick. Yes, I know there's sometimes I've had people tell me they cooked the beans all day long and they were so hard you couldn't believe it. I figured then what they had was very old beans, but
they may have added something in the beginning of the cooking.
That set them up right away.
Don't put your vinegar in when you first start cooking them.
Okay, so you want to have them cooked and at the point where you think that they're done, then you would add your
then you could put in the vinegar. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, see, that's a good sense.
See, when you want to talk about food science, call a food scientist. Hey, thanks very much.
Okay.
For
bye.
The tip, we appreciate it. And we have about 10 minutes left and maybe again people have either cooking tips or maybe you have a good bean recipe to share, you can give us a call, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Any other?
Well, nothing else that's in the top of my mind other than just the general discussion of what we have done with beans. I was just sitting here musing. I haven't made any bean salads yet with balsamic vinegar.
Mm.
I think that might be a good place to start. would be balsamic vinegar on a combination bean salad.
That's kind of, I guess I was thinking, maybe I'm thinking ahead, but I'm thinking that we're, one of these days, it's going to be warm, and we're going to start to get into thinking about sort of a different sort of cooking, and we won't be doing so many things on top of the stove or in the oven, and we'll put aside our chilies and stews and soups and that kind of stuff, and we'll start thinking about, well, it's a different time. It's going to be warm, and you're going to be thinking about things that either are cold or room temperature dishes.
Yes.
That don't end up throwing off a lot of heat in the process of making them. And so that's the thing I'm kind of thinking about. Now, what can we do in the way of bean salads? Somebody's got it. Now we have many calls, so Okay. Maybe we've got some here. In fact, the lines are full, so let's go right to first line one, and that's someone in Champagne. Hello.
Hey.
Yes.
With a view to flatulence, what's wrong with a good fart? In some societies, it's an indication of good food.
Well, you're absolutely right, but a lot of people are embarrassed at the idea or even uncomfortable. You know, no one has mentioned Beano, and I like these Beano ads because they're very funny. They say, well, you can do this, or you can do this, or you can do this, or just forget about that and put Beano in, and then you won't have any problems. I'm not sure of all the mechanics that are involved, but the only two things that I have known by tradition is the soda or the vinegar, but you're absolutely right. Just leave it alone.
Thanks very much.
All right, sure. Thank you. We'll go next to Georgetown, line number four. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
I don't have a bean salad recipe, but I do have another recipe. I have two names for it, either calico beans or ranch beans.
Oh, yes.
And that's just got like four kinds of beans in it. And it could be vegetarian if you don't put the meat in it.
Yes.
And you can use like a half a pound of ground beef, or I use venison.
Good.
It's a great thing to make when we have the deer hunters here. And so you can use a half a pound up to a pound if you like lots of meat in it. And then you can also add, like, bacon if you want to use a half a pound of bacon or four slices of bacon. Just brown that and drain it and cook it. And then the rest is just real easy. You just mix it all together. You can put it in a crock pot and just let it simmer all day, or you can bake it in the oven about an hour or so. And I have onion in it, and you can, again, use a whole onion, a half onion, kind of what your taste is.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can use whatever, like just a can of whatever beans you want, the butter beans, kidney beans, pork and beans.
Oh, yes.
Black beans, pinto beans, whatever. Because I've seen a couple different recipes, and they have.
Now, you mix the beans?
Mix them all together.
More than one kind, yes.
And now I think you mentioned something a little while ago, and I didn't quite hear it all, that generally you generally drain all the liquid off, because for this recipe, you just put everything together and you don't drain it. And so it makes it a little bit soupier. You really have to almost serve it in a bowl. It's kind of like a thick soup almost.
Oh, uh-huh.
But I suppose if you drained it off, then it would make it more like a casserole.
Well, you could add other things to make it soupier. My reason for draining it is to get rid of the salt.
Okay. I didn't quite hear what you said.
Yeah,
okay.
that's the real function,
right.
Yeah.
And then this is kind of a sweet sour. You add like a half a cup of ketchup.
Oh, okay.
And a half a cup of brown sugar.
Yes.
And now one recipe added more, but it has white sugar too, but I eliminate that because I don't want it that sweet.
Yes.
And then you can add like a chopped green pepper.
Okay.
Green onions, and that's just, you can add a whole green pepper or half or whatever you like.
Yeah.
And then 1 to 2 teaspoons of dry mustard.
Dry mustard, yes.
And then a couple teaspoons of vinegar.
Okay. All right, so then this is not really baked beans.
No, it's not really baked beans.
No.
It could almost be like a baked bean, but, you know, it's got black beans, like I say, pinto beans, butter beans. I usually put butter beans, garbanzo beans. You can, whatever beans you have.
Sure.
Four cans. Or you can even use three cans, whatever you have. It's so easy. It's just quick to put together. It makes a big quantity, you know. In fact, we have Lenten soup and salad suppers at our church
every
Wednesday night, and so we have a take a soup, and that's, in fact, I thought about that's what I'm making to take tonight.
Good.
Putting it in the crock pot.
Good for you.
It'll be real easy, and it'll just be dished up in a bowl like you would soup almost, because it's a little bit, when you leave the juice, the liquid on from the beans, it's a little bit juicy.
Yes. Calico beans.
Calico beans or ranch beans.
Ranch beans, yes.
Different recipes.
That's good. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
All right, thank you. Let's see. And we got someone else here. Champagne line number one. Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, I'm on my cell phone, so I hope you can hear me. I'm not driving. I was really interested in this show today. As you know, India has a whole cuisine that's vegetarian.
Oh, yes, yes.
Where beans and lentils play a major role in part of the main meal. They're not side dishes. But anyway, aside from that, I wanted to mention a bean salad that I make, and it sort of has an Indian, slightly Indian flavor to it.
Yes.
And it's so simple, and it's gone over really well. I use black beans, and I use them, I have to admit, out of a can. I just rinse them off. And that's, of course, the main ingredient. But this is sort of, I consider it a complete dish. I boil some new red potatoes in their skins, and I slice them and chill them. And so there's red potato, black beans, sliced green chilies. You don't have to use those.
Okay, sliced chilies, yes.
Cayenne pepper to taste. Chopped red onions, chopped green cilantro, fresh cilantro.
And cilantro, yes.
Edamame.
Okay, edamame, yes.
And toasted pine nuts.
Mmm, my.
Okay, and the dressing consists of extra virgin olive oil.
Yes.
I actually put all I put the chopped cilantro, the lemon juice, the olive oil, the red onions, and then and the red pepper, and I kind of stir that up. I put the potatoes in first because I don't like them to get slimy or mealy.
Yes.
So they're sliced and they're chilled, and I kind of coat them with this dressing, and then I put in the black beans. And then my secret ingredient is, it's not going to be a secret now, I take cumin and it's toasted in a dry pan and ground.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wonderful
thing. Yes, cumin is really good with that, with this combination you've got.
But it's the roasted cumin. It's not the cumin powder that you just take the cumin and, you know, grind it up. So it's roasted or toasted, whichever you want to call it, and it's sort of turning dark brown, and then you grind it,
yes.
And then you use it sparingly, and I kind of keep tasting it to check it, of course. And I mix that into the dressing, and then I put all the vegetables together, and I toss it in that and chill it. And it's been quite a success. And salt, of course, to taste.
And yes, lots of salt.
Yeah, so you've got the beans for protein. You've got the beans. Actually, I don't put much salt because the beans are fairly salty. But So you've got your protein. You've got a little starch. And it's healthy because it's got the potato skins also. Well, it's healthy as it can get. And then it has the edamame for protein, too. And, and I forgot, green beans. I steam.
And green beans. Okay.
Chopped green beans. You know, the kind you get.
Yes.
And so you have some green vegetable, you have the starch, and you have the beans.
That sounds very good. I like the idea of the potatoes in there. It extends the salad a little bit more. I will say very definitely get at least a jalapeno and chop it up because I recognize that in an Indian salad that I often make with black-eyed peas and another bean. But if you don't put that jalapeno in, you miss it.
Right.
That'd be a wonderful taste.
Yeah, and the roasted cumin, powdered cumin, really gives it a wonderful flavor.
Well, you release all those oils when you're roasting it, and so you get a different kind of a thing other than just the old ground-up seed, yes. No, that's very
rich. A little goes away, so you do have to check it and make sure you don't overwhelm it with the cumin.
Yes, but that's a good flavor. It's one of my favorite flavors anyway. And David likes cumin.
Oh, I do
too.
Very much. And I have done the same thing, and I think it's really interesting for people who like cumin, if you've not done that, to do, as you suggest, you'd go out and you buy the whole cumin seed.
Seeds.
You toast that in a pan, and then you need to have something like a spice grinder or a coffee grinder. You don't want to use your grinder for your coffee and your cumin unless you really like your coffee to taste like cumin. But it's very nice, and it's really different. It still has that cumin thing going, but yeah. It has a sort of a nutty, it definitely does change it, and it's different. It's a different flavor.
Now, out of curiosity, let me ask this. Do you use a grinder or do you use a mortar and pestle?
No, I have a spice grinder. And
you have a spice grinder. Okay.
As I said, as David mentioned, you keep it separate from your coffee grinder.
Yes. Yes, use it just for that. You need to have two if you like to grind your coffee beans yourself.
It's true.
Well, thanks very much. That's a really terrific sounding recipe. I appreciate it. And thanks to everybody who has called in.
Potatoes.
And we'll have the recipes that we have. We'll put them on our website. And the recipes are there. But again, if you're going to be looking for the recipes, you need to go to the older version of our website, which is WILL.UIUC.EDU. Go to AM Focus 580 links, and the recipes are there. And should all the past recipes are there. So if you'd like to check up on them that way. And if there is somebody who's listening that just, if you don't have internet or you don't have internet access, you can always drop us a line and we'll make a copy of the recipes and send them to you. Well, that's just about it.
Well, it's been fun.
You had to, didn't you? You had to.
Well, yes.
Doyle Moore, ladies and gentlemen, he's our chef in residence. He shows up here once a month on the first Wednesday. We talk about cooking. So it's already April. I can't believe it. So May. It'll be May.
It'll
next
be
time.
May.
And there'll be some inspiration in the meantime.
I'm not going to know until around the 1st of May.
Well,
it depends on what I'm doing at the moment.
Stay tuned. He'll be back.